If you can please turn with me in your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus this morning in a brand new series that I'm calling Identity Crisis. We're going to be looking at a young man named Moses. Anybody ever heard of him before? My kids like to watch the movie The Prince of Egypt. We watched it on the way home to Illinois, and we heard all about Moses, the Prince of Egypt. Anybody like the old Ten Commandments movie with Mel Brooks? Great movie. Comes on every... Was it Mel Brooks? I don't know. I'm not good at movies. Haven't seen it in a long time. Comes on every Easter. We hear about Moses. And we hear about the end of his story more than we hear about the beginning of his story. But today we're going to read a little bit of his first direct contact with God. It says in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out into the out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Israelites are oppressing them. So, Moses, now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Moses encountered God in a burning bush. And the first thing that he said when God asked him to go was, who am I? Who am I? Before I talk more about this text, I want to tell you a little story of why this sermon series has come about. I was having a conversation with my siblings at a wedding. My cousin got married last week. That's why we were in Illinois. That's why we weren't here. Hope you enjoyed Jeff Shadowin. It was a great message. If you weren't here, it's always online. But while we were together at the wedding, we were having a conversation, just talking about our lives. Stepped away from the dance floor for a minute. Ashley was asking some really great questions. because she knows my story. But honestly, I don't know my siblings' stories that well either. And during the course of the conversation, we discovered that over our lives, that we've all had some issues with our self-esteem, with our identity. Through different avenues, very different. But still, we all had some issues with our identity, who we were, what value we had, and all sorts of things like that. For me and my younger brother, these issues were really debilitating. We both look back and we say, we don't know how we made it through. But my sister seems to have done better than us, but yet we've all gone through an identity crisis, wondering who we are, what value do we have, and what good it is to continue as we are. Now, if you were to look at my family, the Kalers, you would say, they're perfect from the outside. Loving parents, people who care for us, but yet, even though our family was good and we cared for each other, even in the best of families, there's always gaps. Things that are missed. As human beings, all of us here and around the world all have people around us who influence us. And sometimes it's for the better, and other times it's for the worse. It's not just our families. It's those that we encounter all through our lives. But when we don't know who we are, when we don't have a firm grasp of our identity, then it's really easy at times for any one of us to struggle with our identity. Now, my two siblings and I, who all struggled with this identity crisis, have overcome these past issues, and we're all now working in ministry. And part of why we are all doing that is we want people to know how loved and valued by God they are, and how they can have confidence and assurity in their life because of the hope that Christ gives them. But we are the abnormality. If you look at society, of those who've learned to deal with the different crises more than once, different crises of identity that plague our society. Studies are coming out that show that many people in the United States of America, more than ever, are having crises of identity. So what is an identity crisis? What is that? Well, an identity crisis is what the internet says. And it's pretty accurate. It's when an individual is questioning their basic sense of self. Who am I? Or they feel a deep lack of purpose. And they're experiencing sudden anxiety or confusion about their life direction. Let me say that again. A person is questioning their basic sense of self. Anybody ever done that? I have. Feeling a deep lack of purpose. Been there. Experiencing sudden anxiety or confusion about their life direction? Okay, well, that was yesterday. Seriously. Not even joking. These identity crises that we go through or have gone through change so much about who we see or who we are. And so the next few sermons, I'm going to be talking about how we can find our identity in the hope of the Old Testament. Looking at Moses and looking at Jeremiah and Isaiah, and then we'll see who else we go to. Because these people all struggled like we do. This morning we're going to be looking at Moses, and when we think about Moses, we think about him going to the Red Sea, him putting the stick down and the Red Sea parts. We think about him getting the Ten Commandments. We think about him leading the people to the Promised Land and them being disobedient and him interceding between him and God. We think about Moses, the prophet, who spoke to God face to face, but we don't think about Moses when he started. when he started the story that we just read, he wasn't there yet. He wasn't there yet. He wasn't the confident prophet of God who spoke to God face to face at the beginning of his story. Let's just say he was having some troubles. If you read in Exodus chapter 2, you can read all about how he grew up in Pharaoh's household. After being thrown into the river in a basket by his mom to try and save his life from Pharaoh's decree to kill all Hebrew baby boys. He grew up, learned about his origins, and then over a crazy chain of events, he killed somebody. He murdered someone. He fled Egypt. But then he got married, had a kid, was living as a shepherd. Who is Moses? Is he a Hebrew, an Egyptian, or a stranger? Who is he? He didn't know. Look again with me, Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh, God says to Moses, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But God, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? God sees the burning bush. He hears what God has said. And the first thing he says is, I can't do that. This can't be for me. It has to be for someone else. Because when Moses looked at himself, he didn't see himself as someone who could go back to Egypt. He saw himself as a man in disgrace, an outcast, a stranger in a strange land. Not someone who could go back to Pharaoh. Moses had an identity problem, and I can't imagine why. Can you? Nothing bad ever happened to Moses, right? Wait a second. He was raised by his mom and dad, right? He had siblings that loved him. He didn't ever have any worries in his life, right? No. Oh, well, no. Actually, Moses' early life is crazy. At 3 months old, he was put in a basket. And he was adopted by the daughter of the man who wanted to kill him. But his sister saw Pharaoh's daughter pick him up out of the water. She didn't know it was his sister. And she said, oh, I need someone to nurse him. And she said, oh, I know somebody. And it just so happened to be his mom raised him. His biological mom put him in the river. He got picked up by his new adopted mom, Pharaoh's daughter. But yet his biological mom raised him, nursed him, cared for him. Probably was in his life for a long time, whispering when Pharaoh's daughter couldn't hear, you are my Moses. I love you, my child. I care for you. You are a Hebrew. You're not an Egyptian. But don't tell anybody. It's a secret. But then Moses grows up. He knows he's Pharaoh's grandson by adoption. But he sees a Hebrew being beaten by an Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian when he doesn't think anybody else sees. And then somebody looks at him and says, you're going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian, aren't you? And so Moses flees when Pharaoh hears the news. He meets a girl in the wilderness, gets married, has a kid, and he names his son Stranger. He names his son, Stranger. It's not stranger in English, stranger in Hebrew. Because he says, I've named him this because I am a stranger in a strange land. That's who Moses thought he was, a stranger. He didn't know who he was. He had an identity crisis. He wasn't confident in who he was. God tells Moses about what he's going to do through him. And Moses says, I'm a stranger. Who am I to do that? I'm no one special. He has self-doubt. He has a lack of confidence in his own identity. He didn't know who he was, and so he didn't, and he couldn't imagine serving God outside of the ordinary. Moses was married to a priest of God's daughter. So he was serving God. But he couldn't imagine that God would call him to something bigger and greater. Couldn't imagine. Who am I to do that? I'll just tend the sheep for your servants to go and do something great. I'll just tend the sheep. I'm nobody special. He didn't believe that God could call him to something greater because he didn't see himself as someone whom God would use. Now we read Moses' story and we skim over this part. I don't know about you, but I've read this dozens and dozens of times, but I've never really thought about what it means for Moses to question God. I'm like, it all works out in the end. It's going to be fine. I know. He turns around and it's going to be good. Good job, Moses. You may have had a little bit of doubt in the beginning, but it's fine. You're going to be good. But I think when we skim over this important detail, we miss how important what God says is. And we miss on how important it is for us to hear this. Because if we are to look at this story and we say, what would happen if right now this piano caught fire and it didn't burn and God spoke to us from a burning piano? You would say, that's crazy. And would you, if God told us you are to go to, I don't know, name a place, and go to these people and say, God, who you don't know, by the way, wants you to know that he loves you and cares for you. Will you all go, Zion Church of Wasion, to a brand new place? You know what I would say? I like my house. You sure? You sure you're talking to me? Maybe just send Bowen, okay? Send Bowen. We're going to send Andy, not me, not Eli. Right? If God was to speak to us today, would our response be like Moses's? Or not? It's easy to think, oh, I would never be like Moses. But if we're honest, maybe we would be. Because who are you? Who are you to go? Think back to your childhood. Maybe you had two parents, maybe you had one, maybe you're raised by your grandparents. Whoever raised you, did they ever, and did your siblings ever teach you conflicting messages about who you are? What did your family say to you? Did they say, oh man, you are a good kid, you're smart, you're cute, you're funny, you're the best, Rose? Or do you hear, you're a bad kid, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're plain, you're lame? And did the message change if your behavior wasn't good? Did your identity that's being spoken over you to you change if you were being a good kid or not? Were you valued, period? Or did it change based on how you acted? Think about school. You went to this place filled with strange people. Did they ever teach you anything that contradicted what you heard at home? Did they say to you, man, you're thriving. You're talented. You're gifted. Or you're popular. Or were you in special ed? Did you need a little bit of extra help? Or did you fail to thrive? Were you untalented? Were you unpopular? What did the people around you tell you who you were? Because everybody got defined. Everybody judges everybody. Jump forward a few years, you finish school, congratulations, and now what do you encounter but a brand new world and brand new people who look at you and they say, you are this. Ah, man, you're a new employee, you're fresh meat. You're so naive to the things of this world. Some of you, moved out of your parents' house and you say, wow, this is great. And then all of a sudden, people come around and they start asking you questions. Who are you? I'm your neighbor. But who are you? Some of you got married and you thought you knew who you were until your spouse said, this is who you I think you are. Who are you? Were you seen as the same as when you were a child? Or did it change as you went through your life? Did your identity change based on what people around you thought about you? Because this is the pattern in many of our lives. In the different seasons of our life, each time we interact with someone new, they slap a new label on who we are. This is who I see you as. This is who I think you are. And if we don't have confidence in who we are, then we can say, okay, if you say that's who I am, then that's who I am. If you say I am this way, well, sure, I'll be that way. Our identity shifts when someone tells us who we are. Whether that's good or bad. We have a sibling who tells us, you're no good. We can believe that. We have a friend who tells us that you're a dirty, stinking liar. Okay, well, I'll just stay that way. We have someone who tells us that you're not lovable. We believe it. People tell us things and we believe it when we don't know who we are. Part of who we are, part of our identity, at times is shaped by others' perceived image of us. This happened to me, happened to my siblings, it's happened to many others that I've talked to, and it happened to Moses. People told him who he should be, who he was, and he didn't know, in the end, who he actually was. People assessing you and cataloging you will never stop. We live in a world surrounded by people, and when they see you, people make a snap judgment about who you are. And if they're bold, they'll just tell you, that shirt looks terrible on you today. You've got no fashion sense. Okay, I look all right today. But people tell you what they think about you all of a sudden. You call somebody on the phone. You meet with somebody. Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? You feel them calling you dumb without them saying. It happens. We live in a world filled with people who assess us. And they judge us. And it's easy for those judgments to hurt us. Especially when we don't know who we are. If we don't have a good answer to the identity question, who am I? If we don't have a good answer, then we'll likely go through one identity crisis after another. As who others think we are doesn't match up with what we've thought about ourselves before. And so if this is going to happen throughout all of our lives, if it never stops, even when you go to the nursing home, it never stops, how can we have our identity shaped by not those around us, but be stable? How can we have our identity be stable and fixed? How can we, instead of having identity crisis, have a stable identity? We can try and find answers in the world, but that answer changes all the time about who you should be. But one answer that never changes comes from the Lord. And it's Moses, God's answer to Moses when he asks, who am I? Let's look what God says to Moses. God said, I will be with you. Moses said, who am I? He says, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, he's still doubting, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of my fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Moses doubted, and God said, I am with you. Who are you? I am with you, and I have sent you. That's who you are. We sung in our song this morning, Who Am I? Who am I? It's not about what I've done. It's not about who I am. It's who is with us. But who is with us? We are God's chosen people. And He is with us. God promised to be with Moses. And God promises to be with us. Who are you? You're a person whom God is with. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:16, Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, God has said, Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? God's word says, If you are a person who believes in Him, then you have God with you. Who are you? Well, I'm someone whom God is with. I'm someone God wants to be with. I'm someone who God cares for. And if God says, I am with them, I care for them, I love them, then why should it matter what those around us say to us? If you believe in Jesus Christ, then God is with you. But if you don't, well, look, in the beginning, God was with man. In the garden, He walked with Adam and Eve, but then sin entered the world. And God said, I cannot stand to be with sin. And so He separated Himself from Adam in the garden and Eve in the garden. He sent them away because He couldn't stand to be with them. In the Old Testament, God was with people for certain amounts of time and certain people. But it wasn't good enough because He wanted to be with His people. And He wanted to be with them forever. And so He sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went to the cross. And God was with Jesus. And He was with God. But up until when Jesus was hanging on the cross, Jesus was given the sins of the world. And He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the very first time, God wasn't with Jesus because God couldn't stand to see the sin on Him. Our sin on Him. Our sin that separates us from God separated Jesus from His Father. Jesus died on the cross with our sins on Him. But 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, and He told His disciples, If you believe in me, then you can have eternal life, and God will be with you. God will be with you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, if you believe, He will be with you. And He will always be with you. If today you can say, I don't know if I've ever done that, I don't know who I am, then I want to encourage you. I want to invite you. Believe. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And receive who He says you are. You are someone that God is with. And He loves you just as you are. He cares for you just as you are. If you've received Jesus Christ, then when someone says, Who are you? You can say, I am someone God is with, and that will never change. I am someone that God loves, and that will never change. I am a child of God, and that will never change. I am valued by God, and that will never change, no matter what other people say to me. I am loved and cared for and cherished by the God of the universe, so why does it matter what other people say to me? I can't change who I am. I am God's, and He is with me. And He has sent us. This is who we are. There's so many promises found in the Scriptures that I could tell you about for like 45 minutes about how much God loves you and how much He wants to be with you and how much He cares for you. But I want you to know that if anyone ever asks, who are you? Well, you can tell them your name. But you can tell them the greatest answer to this question is that you, if you believe in Christ, that you are the person that God is with. God is with me. My name is Eli, and God is with me. And God has sent me. God loves me. God cares for me. Everything else doesn't matter. When we have that truth as our identity, you are enough. If you're ever wondering who you are enough. Because God is with you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. God is with you. And God has sent you. Go. Tell the message. Share the good news. And help others to know that God wants to be with them. And invite them to join you as someone whom God is with. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the story of Moses and for how you help us to find who we are. We pray, Lord, that you will help us as we answer the question, who are we with you? We are yours. And pray that you'll help us follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.